Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The voice of the person calling you on their phone, or would it, like, would the mouth on your phone, like, do an impression of the person that's calling you?
I'm just a little Ethan here to introduce the Lore Boys. Go ahead, Lore Boys.
Hi, I'm Peter, also Lore Boys.
Hey, it's my name's James, but it's my episode. The heck's going on here?
Wait, it's your episode?
Yeah.
I wrote this whole piece on the Phantom of the Opera for nothing? Okay, I guess I'll just burn it now.
I can't believe I listened to all 14 hours of Metro 2033, wrote a script about it, and we're all wearing the same thing.
Yeah. So this is the Green Lantern episode. Just kidding, Darnell. Get fricked. Yeah.
like Darnell didn't read the title.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm naming it the Green Lantern episode now.
So. Okay, perfect. So this week, we are continuing from last week, SCP episode. We had, I don't know if you guys remember what happened the last time. It was the Church of the Broken God.
And Yaldabaoth.
And Yaldabaoth, yeah. So we had the creation myth of the two gods kind of thing. There was one guy named Yaldabaoth, and it was like the big evil plague boy who wants to spread the... like reform the flesh across the world. And then there's a guy named Mekan, and he's like, I don't really like that. So he broke his body apart to become a cage to enclose himself around this thing and keep it.
Yeah, it was like you got two options. Either your trees are made of meat or your trees are made of metal. Okay, choose wisely. And apparently metal was the right choice, not meat.
The machines filter out carbon pretty well, honestly. They're set up pretty nicely. The meat just spoils.
Then we went into some other stuff. We went into the War of the Flesh. So the first time, like, the colossal tumor beasts and the Gundams fought each other, basically, both sides. And that was in Greece.
This all took place, like, thousands of years ago in Europe, and no one ever wrote anything down, right? That as well.
Bronze Age
exactly.
Greece.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we talked about, like, the more modern-day sects of the Church of the Broken God. So there is the ones that are just, like, literally... we like the old scripture than the people who are like, industry is the way to the future. And then the other people who are like, oh, well, I'm going to go on Facebook because the more I network, the more I'm becoming closer to the machine. So,
right. Yeah. Those are the most evil ones of the most evil sect of the Church of the Broken God or the social media network.
The ones
guys.
On LinkedIn.
The influencers. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the death of the soul occurs on LinkedIn.
True.
This week's episode brought to you by LinkedIn.
Yeah. If you'd like to experience ego death.
Just write down your job here. Make sure to start networking. You'll have job applications for a call center in India in no time, my friend.
Yeah, have like a not quite passport photo and in front of like a kind of off blue background. You'll be great.
Wearing a suit, no tie, just a white shirt under a blazer and some form of lanyard around your neck is ideal for the most matches on your LinkedIn dating profile.
It's the lanyards what's the clincher. It really brings the entire outfit together.
I like the idea it's a dating profile. You swipe right on a data analyst. Yeah.
And that never happens otherwise. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. You know there's no data analysts reeling it in on Tinder. Okay.
Maybe a handsome one.
Maybe.
Yeah. So the data analyst, that's probably more of last week's topic. This week we are talking about the plague boys, the Sarkics, the ones who, the cults of Sarkicism.
Yeah.
No, this was 2 weeks ago though. Cause there have been episodes in between. It's Jamie's last episode.
Oh yeah. 3 weeks ago, I think. Yeah. However you do it.
In case you're listening and you think you fell into a wormhole.
Yes.
So last week, just last week we did Jamie's episode. Am I getting this right? Is this right?
Yeah, we're still the first week of July.
Okay. So last time we did Jamie's episode, we talked about how to bag a data analyst on Tinder. This week, right, we're talking about how to bag a bag of ground beef on Tinder.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The woman every man wants, a bag of ground beef.
Yeah, with bones and tumors and all the good stuff in it.
All the good stuff included. A bit of hair, some toenail clippings.
A little bit of hair. It sounds like a half-formed eye.
I feel like we're just doing a joke about Loreboy's Prime at this point at the top of the episode, you know?
Yeah. So you can't start talking about Sarkicism unless you talk about the Grand Karsist Ion, the founder of all Sarkicism.
Okay. I already have a question. Do we have, is the Grand Sarkist Ion a title, or is the Grand Sarkist a title and Ion is his name?
He's been the only one.
But is Ion his name? Or is it just like...
Ion.
Yeah, okay.
Ion. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't answer the question at all.
yeah, sorry. I latched on to the wrong words, and I didn't listen to the rest of them.
Yeah, well... It's not easy when I have such an annoying voice, I understand.
So yeah, last time I did an episode, we talked about the people who want technology to lead humanity in that direction. Like, technology is going to be our bliss.
Yeah.
These guys are all about returning to the urges of the flesh and stuff.
Technology and bad.
This starts with Grand Karsis, title, name, Ion.
And he's thank you founder. For clarifying that.
Sorry.
Asked and answered.
Yep. And here's a quote about Grand Karsis Ion, and we'll get into his background after that. So. "And Ion held six fingers aloft, and upon their spears did the soldiers impale themselves. For you, they cried, before the blood drowned their tongues. And Ion said, now do you see? And Nadox wept, as more did skewer themselves in Ion's name. For he had seen and now knew the truth of his words." So, Ion's a pretty powerful guy. He can make people stab themselves in the chest.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought they like impaled themselves on his fingers. I thought he was very big with sharp fingers.
No, he just like he gave them like the claw, and then they all just like rows and rows of men just impaled themselves.
You said six fingers. He gave them the claw of one hand, and then like pointed at it with another one.
Peter, I had the exact same thought. Okay, my first was five and one. And then I said four and two is nice because you just fold the thumbs down. And I was like three and three is very symmetrical. And then I was like, we're talking about like meat people that are all about growing new shit. He definitely just has six fingers on one hand.
Okay.
Yeah. I had the whole thought process in there too. I saw you holding up your fingers and just counting like a child in your head. And
there's like he can do all types of stuff with his meat. Like he can.
Nice, me too. I can do that on my fucking LinkedIn.
I can do one thing and one thing only: procreate.
Yeah,
as God intended.
I think at one point, Grand Karsis Ion, to escape like this jail, turns his hand into a wolf's head, and then the wolf's head like chews the bars open.
Okay,
what?
Yeah,
I would have turned
it. He was going to turn it into like a bone key and like pick it from the other side.
Turn it into a tiny small snake and be like, "Go on, friend, figure it out," and send the little snake finger into the hole. or I like a lobster claw, and then like squeezing the bars to give yourself enough of a gap to squeeze through.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick side note about tiny versions of yourself. I think there's like an old version of Superman that could shoot smaller Supermans out of his hands.
Okay, hell yeah. Why not?
I think that's a thing.
did they represent a fraction of his power, or was each tiny Superman as strong as Superman?
I don't know if it was like an ant thing.
It's a Man of Steel and his ball bearings, dude. He's just
he's just throwing them at people so they trip on them.
Like caltrops.
Yeah. Just tiny Superman to tie the villain's shoes together with.
Well, they tiny Superman on the road just blow out the tires of the bad guy's car when he's chasing Superman in the supercar. Yeah.
Lois loved those. They were great. So Grant Cardinal Zion, he was not always like this super powerful guy who could turn his hand into wolf heads with six fingers that could make people stab themselves. He he's like a recurring figure in the SCP Foundation, and he's very, very powerful, as we said, but he's not always been this strong.
Okay.
So in 1800 BC,
sure.
Ion was born from his Deva mother and his unknown father, who was probably a slave.
Deva? Like the D&D race of half angels? Or
D-A-E-V-A. Sorry.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah, it's an ancient civilization. That's all you need to know. They are humans. They're ancient civilization. They could probably get their own episode, because the SCP wants to contain them, because if they did something in a certain timeline in the second millennium, everything would be wasted. But, okay.
They might not be. I don't know. I mean, they're not humans in real life lore, so they're Zoroastrian, which is a religion.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like supernatural. They're kind of like angels in Zoroastrianism, I guess. Just some form of supernatural figure in
That's real life. Like there's like Iranian texts and stuff like that. I looked that up as well. That might be where the name was pulled from, but I think they're just regular old people in the SCP.
In the Gathas, the oldest text of the Zoroastrian canon, the Devas are gods that are to be rejected. So they're like evil gods, I guess. Yeah, with disagreeable characteristics. So they're evil gods in Zoroastrianism.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. And SCP, you can just think of them regular old people. We're not even going to stay on them for too long. But all you need to know is that Grand Karsus Ion, that's where since he comes from a half-Dave background, that could be the malicious part of him.
Where he got his disagreeable traits.
Yeah.
Yeah,
his dad Bill was okay, but his mom Sue, boy, she was a bitch running the homeowners association.
Yeah, so Ion was a half blood male because he was part Deva, which was cool in society's eyes back then, but also part slave, not cool.
Boo!
So he was forced into the role of a lowly slave.
Boo, indeed.
Under also, the
they round down in society here, and you're as far as your if you're as your heritage goes, they round down to the lowest one.
I mean, okay, in 1800 BC, they didn't know any better. Okay, the War of the Flesh was about states' rights. Okay, I'll have you guys know.
War of the Flesh would have been quite a few hundred years later. I think that when's like early Greek civilization? That's like 400 BC.
Gosh,
I can
also
quite old.
Pull up the clip on that.
When I think it is.
Did Greece start? Is what I would query Google. March 25th, 1821. Much more recently than I would have thought.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. I didn't realize all those pillars were so new.
Yeah. Boy, it really puts into perspective all these, you know, very basic mathematical concepts they came up with. Jeez, Pythagoras, get over yourself.
This is supposed to take place way before the War of the Flesh, by the way. Like, Grand Karsus Ion will have come and gone by the time we get to the War of the Flesh.
Okay.
Oh.
Good. Well, spoilies. It's 8th century BC for ancient Greece. FYI. So twice as long ago. No, but they're longer ago. One-fifth as long ago.
Sure. So he's half slave, half blood Deva. So they throw him out to the clam fields or whatever they work out.
Sure, yeah.
I think it was in Siberia. So probably not clam fields.
Caviar, maybe.
It's probably just moss.
Yeah,
or maybe caviar. Sturgeons, man. He's just he was mining sturgeons and milking them for their caviar.
Yeah. So Ion. He wandered off one day. This is actually not really like the way that he came into contact with what he's about to come into contact with is like so left in mystery. But we know it happened according to the history of SCP.
Okay.
He came into contact with Yaldabaoth's discarded body.
Oh, that's not good for the people who are neither team Meat Tree. But I guess also not good for the people who are team Metal Tree, right?
Did he scuttle inside of it like a hermit crab and wear it?
Did he try
more
put,
or less?
Did he try oh, no his way. Penis in it? That was my gonna be my guess.
Like, a lot of things point to saying him that he wore the flesh. Whether or not he actually wore it, or he just touched it and like got bit like a magical spider to Spider-Man, or like whatever happened, he took on all the powers of Yaldabaoth.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
some people say that he's a puppet of Yaldabaoth, but most people believe that he's his own god after touching it.
Okay, cool. So we said last time that the broken god was containing Yaldabaoth within himself, right? Within his body, and that's what broke his body. Was that, at this point, was it contained in his body? Do you know?
I think that's why they left it so vague, because it goes against the creation myth. But in some way, it could be. Lore Boy's canon, it could be. He snuck through the... He used his snake key to open up...
Well, he didn't have a snake key yet, right?
Oh, yeah.
He got, right, got inside. Right. But I could see crawling inside of the broken god's butthole or something like that. Just be like, what's in here?
Slip onto him like a comfortable pair of shoes. Yeah.
Oh, these polyps don't look good.
Like on the way in. It's like, oh, we should really tell. Y'all devastators should really get this checked out.
His butthole would probably be like the aperture doors. Like the
It just... Yeah, watch your step. Have a nice day. Febreze, like the Glade air freshener goes off as he walks in.
It's right into his face. He's like,
colon scented. God.
So once he took on the god's flesh and wore it as his own, it gave him powers over flesh and disease. So like we mentioned before, he could transform his own flesh. He could harness the Red Death, which we talked about last time. It was the flesh that hates.
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of like Venom, I guess. It's like a symbiote. It's attached to his body and is giving him powers.
Yeah, and it basically is him. Like, I don't think you can like take his hat off and then he loses his powers. At this point,
give me back that meat hat. Just wearing a meat lover's pizza on his head, like
it's got like the one non rotten flesh covered ankle, or like the heel. It's like the Sarkic heel.
Oh yeah. Very topical.
Well, that's where his mother dipped him in the river of meat, so she had to hold him by that.
Hold him by that ankle. Gotcha.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, the smell. That'd be awful.
Yeah, even Willy Wonka's chocolate river would probably not smell that good.
Ah, I think a chocolate river would smell pretty good.
I will say I'm neither for nor against the chocolate river, so we're at a complete deadlock here.
I know it's like it's moving. It's not like a standing chocolate lake for like full of chocolate mosquitoes or whatever the fuck. But like,
chocolate doesn't really go bad though, right?
No, it like you do like people eat this like chocolate fondue and they dip their little thingies into it like flowing chocolate. That's we eat that. I don't think we eat a lot of flowing meat though.
No, when you do meat fondue, you're boiling the oil.
Yeah, you're cooking the meat in it. I'm trying to think of a meat slurry or practical applications for a meat slurry here, but coming up pretty blank.
Whenever you want steak tartare, but you're in a rush, so you just shove it all in the blender and put it in a cup to go, or
just
you got to hit the gym, but you want your tartare, right? Yeah. Like obviously you got to get those gains, so you've just got
hey bro, you ready to go get your lift on? Yeah, give me a sec, bro. Just got to throw this horse meat in the blender.
You got to get the big straws, like, for bubble tea, though, or else it doesn't, like, really go up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
The texture and consistency of tapioca.
Yeah. Ew.
Meat pudding.
I love how the reference of tapioca is what made Pete say ew. And not the meat blender.
the fact that it's like the meat slurry would be like the texture of like a pudding, right? Like obviously, you know, you want to get your gains on. You've got your like gold gym thing full of tripe, and you're like, yeah, bro, let's go.
Yeah, tripe and raw eggs just blended together.
Cures any hangover. Don't worry about it.
You'll be so sick, you'd never know you were hungover, dude.
They just mix it with the normal gym stuff, like half a banana and some chocolate milk in there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. So he can transform his own flesh, harness the red death, and he can even transfer his own powers to his followers. So he can be like, hey, now you can also turn your hand into a wolf head.
You get wolf hands. You get wolf hands. Everybody gets wolf hands.
He's kind of set up the church as a pyramid scheme where he's giving everybody the actual like fitness, the fitness powder, but it's all just... So he is doing the exact thing that we were talking about. He's got like a pyramid scheme of like, oh yeah, take your alpha brain and then, you know, recruit two friends to also sell alpha brain, yeah. But it's...
Everybody's
I heard
got
Sigma male is where it's at now.
Sigma male is where it's at. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
That's like you're jumbling the system, you know? Like you're not like that big like brawny alpha, but you're also not that submissive beta. You're kind of like a clever Sigma and you like you find your own place
and you work with that to gain advantages on the women, is that it?
I think so. I've only seen it in memes. I like
females. Like, all right, let's use respectful terms here. Okay,
oh, female. Yeah, excuse me.
Talking about jerking off into his own mouth, and the title on the clip was like "True Sigma Male Move."
You were watching a video of a man jerking off into his own mouth. Is what you're saying?
Talking about it.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
It's soda pop, and he's very popular on the platform. It's crazy some of the things you can say there. anyways, so yeah, he uses his powers to gain a huge following amongst the slaves, and they ended up overthrowing the Deva that have enslaved his people for so long.
Oh, okay. Well, of which he is half. So yeah. He's kind of like going against his own oppressors here.
Another Moses. Very creative. Let's go, boys. Gotta part the Red Death or whatever.
But I'll say Moses, but with wolf hands, like 10 times better.
Pretty cool.
Everybody's got two wolves inside them. One's the right hand, one's the left hand.
Yeah. He can't hold all the commandment tablets with just like three heads.
Yeah, some dogs are trained to bring in the newspaper, some bring in the tablets.
Yeah.
Oh no, Moses' dog has shredded the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Thou shalt not Bogart the bacon strips. Thou shalt not pretend to throw the ball, yet not really throw it.
The puppy's new. Lay down some commandments on the floor. It's easier to clean up.
So he and his followers, Ion and his followers, created their own kingdom. So they took all of what the Davis settlements used to be, they trashed it, and they made their capital city Adytum. Adytum. Adytum? Adytum?
Yeah. Adytum. Here?
Yeah. And the city was not
tummy
built
rum to this good boy wolf, huh? Sorry, go ahead.
Yes.
Just had to get that in there. You understand. What you were saying wasn't important. It wasn't important.
So the city was not built of wood and stone, but instead flesh and bone. So,
uh-oh.
Meat tents everywhere, meat skyscrapers.
Hey, you got a permit for that scapula?
Yeah.
All the lawns are just like toe hairs. Like, grown
out.
Lawns made of hair, as far as the eye could see. It's like, it's nice though. Some hair is like you know, blonde and wavy, and then you get some like the really like thin curl hair, like really dark thin curled hair.
Yeah, you got the Little Italy. You can tell because of the lawns.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta go. My lawn's getting a perm later. I gotta be there for it.
Oh, would you like frost your lawn's tips?
No, I think it would be a monster pushing an upside down face razor with wheels behind it.
Yeah. Morning, Sam. Morning. Yeah.
It's like doing a wheelbarrow race, but the guy's mouth is just on the ground and he's just chewing the lawn down to size, basically.
I use a straight edge for my driveway.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the expensive landscapers all use the straight razors.
Could you just imagine like a bald head for a lawn? Like just like that smooth skin sheen? Like I gotta shave it every morning, but it's worth it to get that shine.
Would they just sell like big like 20 kilo bags of Rogaine if you wanted to like revitalize your lawn after like after you've done like renovations, it's all fucked up by the trucks and shit.
It's like just
you know how we had dandelions, like they would get dandruff in spring.
Oh yeah,
dandelion. Very clever.
Yeah. Dandruff lions. Oh, dandruff lions sounds scary.
With that big mane, you need head and shoulders.
So flaky.
Trust in the blue. Sense in blue.
Okay, yeah. So they set up their hairy long, fleshy buildings. They're all getting set up. They're teaching each other how to disease their friends and whatnot. They're having a good time with it. And the new empire continues to rapidly expand their territory. And after a while, they pissed off some people, including the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Minoans, and the Mechanites, the followers of Mechan, before the War of the Flesh.
Yeah.
Okay. So they built like a flesh temple in the desert.
Okay, we've all had bad neighbors. Okay, plenty of us have had neighbors who, you know, were hoarders and just, you know, there's like cat poop everywhere. Imagine a hoarder living right next to you whose entire apartment was like wall to wall, you know, floor to ceiling, just rancid meat, just rotting. Like, could you that smell? Yeah, I complain too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cat pee's tough, but the meat walls. Yeah, you just got to bring the whole building down, frankly.
No, this is condemnable here. You can't see this. you see the way those juices have soaked into the carpet? That's gone right through to the hardwood, okay?
Like, yeah,
there's no getting that smell out.
That's warped all to hell. Got to tear it all out. Down to the concrete.
Oh, yeah. You see where this wall's buckling because of all these tibias leaned up against it? Yeah, that's not safe. That's not safe.
So the awful neighbor, Ion, the Grand Karthist, he goes in to war with the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Minoans, and the Mechanites. The alliance of these people fought a brutal, destructive war against Ion, which eventually ended after millions of casualties on both sides. While Ion was weak, I don't know if you guys remember, but the man who drank the blood of Mechan, he had a funny name, Robert Bumero.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like a half-robot dude that...
Yeah, blonde hair, very, very cute boy Asian waifu, or Asian husbando vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And he's basically like he's the head of the Mechanites, other than the actual god, just like Ion is the head of the Sarkists.
He was involved in the War of the Flesh, right? I know we're not there yet, but he was involved in the War of the Flesh. Although we have the War of the Flesh coming up, and this is the war against the flesh-filled apartment, basically.
Yeah, we probably won't even touch the War of the Flesh. Like, I kind of give the whole background of the Mechans last time, so now we're just giving the whole background of the Sarkists, and we'll lead up to Tale of Six Worlds.
I love it. I love it. Collides. Don't get me wrong, this is what I do with all my episodes, so I love that somebody else is doing it now.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to talk about Elspeth. This is going to be six episodes long, so buckle up, okay?
Here's three episodes about other people.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Six episodes long. Here, we're going to talk about only a Johnny this episode, and at the end of six episodes, we're not even going to be done. I might revisit it at some point. I don't know, okay?
Yeah, I did a two-parter, and I had fun writing and recording. Obviously recording this now, but I think next time it's my turn, I'm just going to do Glover or something.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. That's a request. It's perfect as long as we're doing what the audience wants.
So the man who drank the blood of Mechan, Robert Marrero, he banished the whole city of Aditum and the Grand Karthist Ion from this mortal plane using some type of technology or power.
Sure. I have this technology called a magic wand. Alakadabra.
Yep. Ah, look, I've invented them. They're called flies. They'll devour everything in front of them and just like release them on the city.
Well, now we gotta get frogs to take care of the fly problem.
Oh, and then we get the plagues of Egypt. I see how it all ties in. Now, wow. Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Wow.
We cracked it wide open, boys.
So Robert Barrero, he banishes that dude. Ion's gone. So all the followers fled to avoid persecution. And this is before they would even get back together for the War of the Flesh, but they kind of scattered. Usually it's mostly around like Romania and Siberia and like that corner of the world.
Okay. Those places are not close,
not very
whatsoever.
Close at all. Yeah. But
yeah, well, like from one to the other.
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Claire, all right. Yeah, good. Yeah. Save. We did it.
Through all the Enistans. Like, how far east are we going here? Right. So we got the,
yeah,
up through the Ukraine, you get to Russia, and then you go to Siberia. And I guess if you come down on the other side of the, what is it? Not the Red Sea, but the
Urals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's the Caspian Sea.
Caspian
is in there, isn't
Sea,
it?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you now, James.
Yeah. Okay. Now we know where we are.
So yeah, they're all around that big vague area and
that big
Russia
mysteriously vague area.
Yeah. The SCP Foundation, just as a note, does not have any definitive proof that Ion ever existed in the first place, since this was so long ago. This is all kind of telltale.
Well, there's no mention of him in the Bible, so what are the odds he existed, huh?
Let me consult the official SCP documentation. It's just a dusty Bible. Like, I don't see it in here.
There's a bunch of like SCP events in like places. There's like a bunch of catacombs. I think this one was in Romania, where there's like these vampire type people and they're trying to resurrect Ion, and SCP Foundation actually steps in and stops it from happening.
Romania, not Transylvania with the vampire cave?
Maybe it was Transylvania.
We don't believe that he was alive, but we're not willing to trust that assertion enough to not step in and stop them from trying to resurrect whoever the fuck this is.
Exactly.
So when you say you had said banished to another realm of existence, but it sounds more like just like banished to the realm of dead, like just killed if they're
just killed them.
Resurrecting them.
It's hard to say. The SCP universe is a multiverse.
Yeah.
Which we're going to dip into a lot in the second half of the episode. So he could be just like in the world of infinite kittens or something like that. Right. Yeah. Right.
Which is a death sentence. Let's be real.
Now he's a J-class SCP, and he just like soaks your bed with like meat water when when you least expect it.
That's
oh no, dude.
That's no joke. That's horrible.
Now I have sleep apnea and salmonella.
Boy, could this Tuesday get any worse?
So, the Sarkites, when they split up, they kind of stayed in two main groups, and that's the Proto-Sarkites and the Neo-Sarkites.
Sure.
Okay.
Both of those two groups have five key beliefs. The first one is that apotheosis, so becoming a god. Proto-Sarkites believe that only over time and through the Grand Karsis that this can be achieved, and the Neo-Sarkites view this as the only way of becoming a god is through will.
All right.
So
the proto ones are like the country bumpkins, and the neo ones are like the higher ups in society that kind of do the stuff behind closed doors. So will is the second thing. They all believe in will. Like you have to have will. The driving force of a man is what will get our goals done.
Can I just step in and say, I think there's two things required to become a god, not just will, but will and grace. Are the two things required to become god. And a quirky gay neighbor, a very camp, you know,
and then the loud lady friend of his.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah, the Mary Magdalene of the bunch.
Exactly.
Yeah. that was her character on Will and Grace, obviously.
Oh boy, are we showing our age now, referencing a mid-90s sitcom on the air yet?
I have not watched a single episode of Will and Grace.
There's one great bit that I remember like seeing, because it was like finishing when I would get home from school, and yep. The campy, the kind of the flamboyant gay character,
Jack,
whose name I don't recall.
I think it was Jack. But I'm not
positive. That's it. Yeah. He was hanging out with like the loud lady with the kind of whiny voice, the comedic relief girl. And they were going somewhere, and he was just like, oh wait, I want to take out some money. And she's like, okay. And she hands him a card, and he swipes it through her tits, and she's like, denied, and turns around, and then he goes through her butt crack. She's like, approved. It's like the only bit I remember from that show that I've never seen a full episode of, but it's just one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen.
As a child, too, you're like, I don't really understand this, but it's
I was aroused clearly by whoever that actress was.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I want it to be Jack.
Honestly, given some of the your tastes, it makes sense. It adds up now.
Yeah, I have two credit cards for one.
Okay, completely derailed that, James, but go ahead.
No, yeah.
Bring us back.
I was reading my next sentence, which I copy pasted, and I'm not even sure what it fully means. So,
okay.
Theo.
So we were buying you time.
Yeah, you were. I was confused. Theophagy, or Theophagy.
So
theophagy.
Yeah, Theo is like religious or devout. Like theology is the study of religion, and phage is to eat or to consume.
Eat.
So it'd be someone who eats religion. I don't know, the consumption of religion.
It's the sacramental consumption of a god is what it said. So I guess
yeah, sure.
It's like the wafer cookies.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll actually look up if it's real or if it's just a thing. Oh yeah, no. Okay, so was that definition from Merriam-Webster?
This was just like ripped from the SCP entry.
Because that is the Merriam-Webster, the sacramental eating of a god, typically in the form of an animal, image, or other symbol as part of a religious ritual, and commonly for the purpose of communion.
Okay.
With or the receiving of power from the god. Excuse me. Of communion.
It's interesting that the Merriam-Webster's dictionary would be canon with the SCP universe.
I wonder what SCP number Merriam is and which SCP number Webster is, right?
They're probably close together. They're probably discovered and like kind of like held at the same time.
Yeah.
Contained at the same time, rather.
When Merriam utters a word, Webster automatically makes a definition for it, no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
They're a Keter class. It's easy to contain. Don't worry.
Patent pending.
Whatever the fuck.
Patent pending. We delegate the writing of that SCP to anybody in the Discord. But if you're not in the Discord, you're not allowed to write that on our behalf, okay? But anybody else, make a new SCP-J for us. Why don't you?
It's a challenge this week.
So that's what they believe in so far, is becoming a god. Like the country bumpkins think over time, and the Grand Carses come back and make them a god. The rich guys think, well, I'm going to become a god through my own will. Then they all believe in will being the driving force of a man. They believe in consumption for their god. They also believe in sacrifice. So either the sacrifice, the one self for the benefit of many. So the proto-sarkites think that they should sacrifice themselves so everybody benefits. And the rich guys, the neo-sarkites, think that many should sacrifice for the one being themselves.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like neo insert political thing that currently exists, basically.
Yeah. It's like Christians believing that Jesus Christ is going to come back and absolve them of their sins and bring them to heaven. And it's like televangelists who are like, yeah, I'm just going to fucking do it myself, make a bunch of money, and have my heaven here on earth and my $57 million jet. No problem.
Yeah. Jesus would have had a jet. I'm sure.
Jesus would have had 10 jets. Are you kidding me? If one thing Jesus loved, it was capitalism. And
if he had invested that gold in the year one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
think about how much it would be worth now.
Yeah.
Guys, take a cross off the wall, turn it sideways. It kind of looks like an airplane, you know, with the wings.
It do.
Absolutely do. Oh, my God.
That's what I'm going to tell people now on my necklace. It's just like, oh, no, it's a little airplane.
It's a sideways airplane.
I'm a pilot.
T for pilot. That's what I always say.
There's a T in pilot.
So the last thing to believe in is to shepherd the flesh. So cultivate organic matter. Make sure to water your hair gardens and the rest of it.
They could just be vegetarians. The plants are organic matter. I don't understand what the meat thing is.
Meat's organic, isn't it? Organic's a weird word, though. Like, a lot of things are organic.
That's meat and plants are both organic.
I'm pretty sure sulfuric acid is organic. Like,
for sure.
Yeah. I think so.
But you can eat plants. Well, I mean, some plants. Can you eat all meat, but only some plants? No. Okay. So here's a fact. Animal fact of the day. You can't eat polar bear liver because it's too rich in vitamin A and will kill you.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Liver, more like deader.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, it's going on the title list.
Okay.
So the goal of all Sarkites is to bring a new age of flesh. presumably by terraforming the entire world, like they did to the ancient Deva cities. And it's speculated that the Red Death will play a big role in this plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Just to dig in a little bit to the Protos and the Neos, first I'll give you a little description of the Protos. They often live in rural villages away from civilization. Known Protosarchites colonies exist in Russia, Finland, and Romania.
Okay.
They're often poor, isolationist, technophobic, and hostile to outsiders. But they kind of stay in their own zones. They're not like trying to take over the neighboring cities.
They're not expansionist.
Are they the ones that invented that like canned fish that smells terrible? up in Finland or whatever?
Yeah.
Storsgromer or something like that?
Something like that, surely.
Yeah. I've never had it, but
There's some good videos of people opening cans of this stuff, like in a garage, and just like they just immediately start heaving. They're trying to take one bite, but just the smell of it gets them.
I watched a video where a guy from Sweden, I think, teaches you how to eat it. You're supposed to open it underwater to contain the smell.
Oh yeah, there you go.
There's containment procedures. It's an SCP.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's amazing.
All right, I want LA Beast to eat a pound of it with a liter of Crystal Pepsi.
He has. I've seen the video already. He's eaten it.
Just from the sound of it, I'm like, that sounds like something that he must have done by now. Because the only thing I know about the Protoss is they say, my life for iron. It's a little gaming joke for you guys.
They're much more like the Zerg, but they sound like that. So different sects barely communicate with each other, and every cult seems to exist in a vacuum for these proto folks.
Well, yeah, they don't really have a whole lot of communication, right? For the cult,
their breeding's like done internally.
Can't make a telephone out of meat.
No,
that's what my grandpappy always said.
So. There's just like an ear on the bottom and a mouth where your ear.
Actually, you know what? Fuck me. You can. You can make a telephone out of meat.
Like whispers in your ear and shit.
I would hate it. You'd buy a phone based on the personality of the mouth, right? Like you'd have to.
Yeah.
Because if he was just like a
Siri would be a real person installed in the thing.
You just like
and all those kids with their cell phones, they'd see that mouth for the first time, they're hitting puberty, you know.
They'd try some stuff for sure. I mean, some mouths would probably be perverts, and like you'd get the mouth of a pervert eventually, who'd just be like licking your ear while you're trying to make a phone call. Right?
Yeah. Would this phone like transmit the voice of the person calling you on their phone, or would it like would the mouth on your phone like do an impression of the person that's calling you?
Just somebody so bad at like an accent, like an Australian. G'day, mate. It's me, your rum chuzzin bunga.
Well, it's like the newer iPhone does a much better impression of the person calling you, and like that's why you upgrade your phone every year.
Literal game of telephone. Like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. When your phone's in a bad mood, he just doesn't give you like a good message. Basically. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He said some shit about I don't know. Need to pick out your car from the impound lot. Like, what?
What?
I need to know that.
All right, I'll sacrifice a rabbit by the phone again. So it actually...
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you charge it.
Yeah.
So the Protosarchites, they value humility, self-sacrifice for the good of the many, incest, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Just going to blow past that one.
Yeah, good of the many, incest. I mean, those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, is incest not like literally the good of the few, though?
I mean, depends who you ask. If it's these guys inbreeding, then I'm kind of like, hey, just stick to your own thing and do your own. You got your little towns, live your life over there. You're not expansionist. You're fine. It's the Neos that we have problems with, right? So
right, yeah, yeah.
The good of the many and
other people.
I don't want to have to get a meat phone just to call my in-laws.
Yeah. Imagine, okay, your daughter, her first boyfriend, you bring him home, and he's got a friggin' meat telephone. Come on, friggin'. Yeah, try and give him a salad, and he just like starts screeching at you, like, No, thank you. No, thank you.
It's organic, dude. It's organic iceberg lettuce. I don't know what the problem is.
So yeah, the good of the many. This leads to many of the proto-Sarkites willingly sacrificing themselves to be reborn and suffer for their faith. There's this whole camp. One of these SCPs is like a camp of these guys, and they die, and they are just reborn with their same bodies and personalities and memories over and over again.
Okay.
So they're sacrificing themselves, but just being rebuilt in meat like all the time.
It's not much of a sacrifice then, right? Like, yeah. What are you giving up? A couple days?
Yeah.
Get stitched back together?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's like whenever you give up like something you don't really do for Lent. Like, yeah, I'll give up white chocolate.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's, I mean, one of my favorite things around, you know, from February to Palm Sunday is just making up stuff that I say I'm giving up for Lent because I'm not Catholic and I've never given up anything for any reason to anybody. But just being like, yeah, no.
Not even his virginity.
Yeah, no. I'm not swearing at toddlers anymore. You know, just like, yeah, not for 40 days. And then after 40 days, I'm really going to take it out on one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God dude. Help the poor soul that ends up in my crosshairs on Palm Sunday. Okay. Because I am just going to unleash.
So they view Yaldabaoth as the creator of life. But they also see him as a hostile force that needs to be stopped. And they actually see Grand Karsist Ion as the benevolent messiah will one day return and grant humanity eternal life. So they trust the messenger, but not so much the god.
Okay. Yeah, well, you did mention that some people view Grand Karsist Ion more as a god in his own right as well. So maybe they're kind of like leaning there where it's just like, no, he's like, he took all the good god powers and just left all the bad god behavior, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's their side of things.
And I mean, to be fair... All the guy did was make a city out of meat. I don't know. I've been assuming that he had a way of generating meat. He had some sort of like meat from nothing plant. But if he was like harvesting people from the Egyptians, the Greeks and all those people, then maybe I could see why they'd be upset at him. But
I mean, Jesus had like basic duplication powers, like all those fish for that feast and exactly. The water into wine. Like it's not like I don't think the Bible is just like, and Jesus spent six days just catching fish by himself. That was his persistence was the miracle, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the miracle was, I mean, he did catch a large amount of fish. It was like every line he cast brought a bad boy in, you know what I mean? And no chumps, but in terms of miracles.
He went out there with a whole 2-4 and then he came back and it was completely empty. We don't know how it happened. It's a miracle.
He can definitely
catch any fish though.
Yeah.
If he just saw one body, he can make it sprout 8 arms on top of it. So I'm sure he could, as long as he had the original like spark for meat.
One toe, he made a village.
He's got the blueprint written down on like deli meat and he just like can grow it from there.
Exactly.
There was one Sarkic dude that got captured by the SCP Foundation, and he had an anomalous dagger, and he stabbed a facility member, and that guy just turned into this giant meat monster filled with tumors and teeth, and that guy ended up killing 57 other Foundation dudes.
Damn.
So yeah, if the god can do it, and like even the fathers can do it, like for sure the god can do it even better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like he wasn't doing anything wrong is what I was really getting at there. Was like he built his meat city, he was just living in peace, and everybody decided to invade and kill him? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah, the ATF came in and fucking just like let the whole meat city on fire by accident.
That's it. I
he's expanding.
Oh, okay.
He was like, I'm going to take your backyard kind of thing.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Oh.
Well then, you know, what can you do? What can you do?
So the Neo-Sarkites, they live among society. They're often the world's elite, such as politicians and leaders of industry. And
okay.
They...
Industry.
They aren't technophobic, so they do use technology. And they usually have access to immense resources due to their high status. So they'll use a BlackBerry just as a means to the end, but they don't love it.
Is it an organic BlackBerry? Or...
I hate the little meat buttons.
Just nipples. You just got like a dial pad of nipples.
Well, the trackball in the middle would be a nipple, right?
Or just like an eye with like a ton of cataracts.
Pushing on it?
Yeah. It's probably sensitive.
Yeah. Or you have to like Visine it? Like to what is it?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I can't call right now. My phone's eye is sore.
Yeah. So the Proto-Sarkites believe in sacrificing themselves for the good of the many. Like I said before, the Neo-Sarkites believe in sacrificing many for the good of one. So they'd happily kill for themselves.
But they not like, get along great. They are not opposing views.
Yeah, they end up working together for sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They're just like two different sects, I guess, like two different ways of following the religion, but they kind of work well because the protos are willing to give their own life for a cause and the neos are willing to take that life.
Yes, for that no, cause. Please don't stop, come back.
So the neos see the Grand Karsist Ion as an example of what one person can achieve through dedication and Sarkic practices, but they're ready to overthrow him if they gather the same amount of power. So they're like, yeah, well, Jeff Bezos, he got all his powers by pulling himself by his bootstraps. But if I do the same thing, I'm totally happy just to push that guy out of the market.
He's going to space in his meat rocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they often gather in clandestine organizations, which resemble secret societies like Illuminati type stuff, frats, social clubs. And they're much more vile than the Proto-Sarkites, murder, rape, pedophilia, that type of stuff.
Yikes.
So.
Okay, so they are just like adapted the current conspiracies that are running yeah. wild.
So I was going to say, so they are just the elites, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have an island they all go to, and they take pictures. If anyone tries to speak out against each other, they kind of go missing.
Yeah, the Neo-Sarkites all blackmail each other.
Yeah. They shoot themselves in the back of the head and stuff themselves into a duffel bag.
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha. They all commit suicide in the trunk of their own cars and somehow drive them into rivers.
So for the War of the Flesh that we talked about the last time, if you just start listening to all the episodes in a row, you might remember, but it's just a bunch of robot people fighting a bunch of flesh people. The Neo-Sarkites and the Proto-Sarkites were both there. So the Neos were probably the ones crafting like these magnificent like flesh beasts that going up head to head with the Gundams and stuff like that, while the Protos are more like the front line. I'll kill myself for the
Zerglings, to reference the metaphor you used before.
Exactly. If you're interested in the War of the Flesh, you can check out that last one that we had, the war that I talked about earlier that got rid of Ion himself was the War of the Occult. And we're leading up in present day SCP. We're coming up on the second War of the Flesh. Like, if you read the book, everyone's like tying their boots and sharpening their blades or doing whatever. We're getting ready for it.
So, I guess just like a real life lore question here. How does it like? Are they just waiting for like somebody to write that SCP article, and then like everybody's gonna start like adding stuff to it, or like how does it work on the forum? You know, I haven't spent any amount of time there really.
It's just basically what's accepted and what's not. If it gets enough traction, people like write it into the canon and it'll actually become fledged SCP. But if it's not, if it's just fan fiction, then you can find it, but it doesn't necessarily link to the actual original page.
Yeah. So there might be Wars of the Flesh on SCP.com or whatever, SCP Wiki, but not necessarily canon ones. Which
again, the Sonic OCs versus the My Little Pony OCs is non-canon.
Ethan the Hedgehog versus Sank the Hedgehog. Gotcha.
Yeah. And but what they do, Peter the Apple Pony.
They do have an interesting way of not quite having an end to it. It's kind of more open-ended, but I think it's really cool the way that they handle the second War of the Flesh. And it's a tale of the six worlds. So, like I said, the Church of the Broken God and the Sarkites are rising to a final battle in the future known as the Second World War of the Flesh. But the SCP universe is a multiverse. So the War of the Flesh, the second one, already happened many times.
Okay.
And the reason that we can know this is we found an SCP-2510. And it's a machine submerged within deep water geographically known as the Kerguelen Plateau, which I don't know where that is in the world, but it's picture frozen. I can send the actual way it's spelt. It's kind of spelled funny. Picture it. Like a frozen wasteland. Okay. And is it in the Arctic?
Antarctic plate. Antarctic. When you go to Google Maps, it's just the middle of the ocean. it's at the southernmost point of the Indian Ocean, so like between Australia and South Africa, and you just go like straight south, probably, you know, 3/5 of the way to Antarctica, and then it's just there in the ocean.
Yeah, so I don't know how they found it. When I looked up the actual SCP-2510, it seemed that there was like a duplicate entry because they're talking about something that was found in the town of Converse that was like found in a woman's bathroom. And it was an anti-meme, like only the people within the town knew about it, but nobody could talk about it. And if you even tried to tell someone from outside of the town about it, the information wouldn't travel. So like,
okay,
that's a different SCP-2510. Like you have to look that is actually related to Tale of the Six Worlds if you're looking it up yourself.
Okay. When I type SCP-2510 into Google, Google auto-completes with plagiarism. I don't
must
know.
Must be a law or something. Yeah, so most of this SCP is in the Antarctic, and most of it's submerged in the water and unreachable. But SCP-2510-1 is pieces of this that they've harvested and put back together. So it's like the top third or something like that. It's like the top chunk that they could take apart and put back together in a place where they can actually use it.
And okay.
It's a circular trans-dimensional gateway. It looks like the top of a sphere kind of thing with a window in the top. The inner ring contains a flower-like pattern with a symmetrical structure of a hexagon.
Okay. It's like a dome, basically.
Yeah.
They go into it, you get like the little like fancy lotus that you'd like or whatever that you'd like meditate to.
Yeah, on the top of the hexagon. And the outer ring is engraved with alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and epsilon in a clock.
No sigma males, though. No sigma not males. Welcome in the...
Okay, yeah.
Not good yet.
To know.
Nope. Yeah.
Shit, I had a luck here.
SCP of 25101 unfurls when activated and becomes a doorway to one of the several possible environments. And it draws energy from the piece, like an unknown source in the actual thing that's trapped in the Antarctic that they couldn't get out of the ice. But that's where the power comes from, so it has unlimited power somehow. But we just have the part that's the teleport.
Cool. That's all we need,
and
baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing that they open up, they figured out in like the 1950s how to get Alpha Portal to open. So they somehow did the locker combination to get Alpha
just
door.
Right.
Yeah, some old timey guy with like a big stethoscope listening to the side of it.
Yeah, decades.
So they come through and they walk through the portal, and they're in Alpha, and it is our world in a different multiverse. And this one is a barren world, as dead as the void space around it. So it's just rocks. There's like nothing left. There's no life. There's nothing at all.
No meat?
No meat.
Not oh, one no. meat?
No.
Zero meat left.
Damn.
I can't believe it. Those greedy meat companies, the Texan meat barons, have drained it all out of the crust of the earth.
They blew it all up, you bastards.
So yeah.
Yeah, the Statue of Liberty's got a kebab instead of a torch, though.
I like that. So they pull the D-class personnel back out, and whether he's dead or alive, they don't really care, but they got the information. Then the next one is Beta. So they go through
the cuck dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Good.
Yep.
Well, let's go.
I'll move on to the next one.
Let's go to the next one then.
No, we got that.
It's ruled by the Sarkics and their ways of disease and flesh. The followers of Mekane failed at the siege of Gyaros, which I guess is in the Second World War of the Flesh.
It's where it's what Magikarp evolves into.
Right. The siege of that
siege of water Gyarados. Dragon.
Siege of Gyarados.
Yeah. And the Sarkics continued to spread across the world, converting it into their perfect image without machine or thought, but only flesh and plague. So they just see a meat world, and it's horrid. There's meat people dragging themselves along the meat fields, and
little. When I imagine the meat world, I do kind of imagine just like instead of ground, it's just like belly skin, where it's like still kind of smooth and like gross. Like it would smell, it'd be horrible, but like still like skin.
I'm picturing
sort of like as if like the entire planet was just like a person's body with no arms or legs or head, just like a sphere with like a little belly button or something.
I am picturing rolling fields of like sinewy muscle. There's like these like chubby clouds of just like belly fat floating through the air.
There's, you know, okay, I like it.
Streams and rivers made of pure fat, just kind of like running down, and just, you know, children frolicking, playing in such a beautiful world. You know, the meat man working the meat fields, harvesting the meat crop, and just just a grand old time.
Okay. An idyllic countryside.
Hopefully, whatever like skin they took it from is not as fair as mine. As it goes around the sun, there would
the
just
sunburns,
be a, like,
yeah.
sunburns, oh, yeah. like 180 around the world.
Well, that's like their version of climate change is like the ground keeps getting sunburned. So.
Yeah. Ireland is just permanently red, like much to their chagrin. Ireland is just so red.
little meat crabs and stuff have like gone under my bubble skin to like where people stuff and. This is a gross world. So.
Yeah. You got like fat, like natural geysers. They're just pimples. You know.
What would be the difference between like salt water and fresh water? Like you'd have different, like you'd have like flesh fish that can live in the ocean, flesh fish that live in the lake.
I assume it'd be like salty spit or just regular spit. Like I think it'd all be spit, right?
Or like sweat and spit.
Sweat and spit. Yeah, sweat's the ocean. Spits,
yeah, there you go.
Spits your lakes. Spits your fresh water.
Gross. Yeah. You know, most of the planet's spit is contained within glaciers.
Yeah, yeah. Frozen spit.
Yeah,
sweat and spit. The global warming story.
Al Gore is a perfect name for like an alarmist man talking about the sun burning of Ireland. On this planet, at least.
Yeah. So now they come back from that. So the first one, completely barren. Alpha is barren. Beta, the Sarkics have completely taken over. Gamma is another world that the Sarkics consumed. And it turned into a singular hive for Yaldabaoth. So it is just like the other one, but a lot more. Like the people there are completely unblinking, staring. They all have like a missing cog in their head. There's no intelligence at all. Like the other ones, you could actually you could talk about the meat paper together in the morning. But
yeah, that's it.
Right,
you're allowed thought as long as said thought is about meat. Was my understanding. Yeah.
There's good conversation over at the spit cooler in the office, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Instead of swim meat, they have meat. You know.
So they didn't want to get too close, but they managed to get a little spit sample, and it was mostly human. But everything, there was buildings that were like cement and featureless. Even though there was like meat, there was also cement for some reason. This is if Yaldabaoth, I think, was the winner rather than Grand Karsist Ion.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. The next one's Epsilon. The portal to Epsilon was unusually transparent. And when you looked in it, it wasn't a different version of the world. It was just the inside of the SCP. So it looked like the inside of a dome. It's a cubicle room. So it's not quite domey, but it was a cubicle room within the dome. Yeah.
We found this portal. It's a door.
We'll call it Epsilon.
Yeah.
All the Sigma males called it Epsilon. So it looks, the inside of the room looks a lot like the outside. It's obsidian with a dull green glow along the seams. And there's no apparent exits besides the returning portal. And there's a heavy bronze object that was found within. And the remaining crew entered the aperture to aid in its recovery. They brought it out. And it turned out to be a machine left by a servant of Mechane who escaped from Gamma, which is the one that was taken over by Yaldabaoth. And it tells the tale of Mechane and Yaldabaoth, the Church of the Broken God, and basically the whole history that we know up to this point, but also it continuing into Yaldabaoth taking over.
It was a Bronze Age tape recorder that that someone had planted in the Watergate Hotel.
Yeah. It was a warning. They're like, don't let the Starkix win. And you might have noticed that I skipped from Gamma to F. Didn't touch Delta yet. I left Delta for last.
I didn't notice because my Greek alphabet is not very good.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
You were going
don't know where they're going.
I know Omega's last. I know Alpha's first. And all the ones in the middle, they're kind of jumbled up a bit.
Alpha, Beta. And then after that, it's just total blank until Omega. Well, yeah.
It sounds like it's Gamma, Epsilon, or Gamma, Delta, Epsilon now.
Epsilon.
Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. Da 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 da. I think we got to make a song. Someone, old Greeks.
What are the writers of the Animaniacs doing these days? They could probably fucking knock it out.
Peter, my first thought was the Animaniacs singing All the Countries of the World.
Thank you.
But Peter, you are going to see your Greek grandfather, I believe, right after this episode.
Yes.
So
The other one's dead. There'd be no point in going to check on seeing how he's doing.
Well, I mean, sometimes you might go check in.
I'd be concerned if he wasn't dead anymore. That's true.
Yeah, that's a status update that you really want to be aware of.
If you want, I can put you in some touch with some Sarkis, and maybe we can get that all fixed up for you.
Yeah.
Cool, that'd be great. Yeah. So Delta, finally is Delta, and it's a world of peace and wonder. Humanity has achieved technological purity, allowed them to reach in the stars and transcend death itself.
Oh, it's Lionel Hutz's world without lawyers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the world of Mechane. Through their technological perfection, they've contacted Earth, and they say, the Worm of Midnight approaches you, and you are at the 11th hour. You can sacrifice your world as what was done to Alpha. You could fail to prevent the return of the Tyrant as what happened in Beta and Gamma, or you could walk the path of Delta. So they tell the tale of how they came to be, and how the others failed to escape Yaldabaoth's hold and were dragged down to the state of animals. So Alpha, they reveal, was rendered barren and lifeless because they made it that way. Before the Sarkix could secede, Delta went and just cauterized the entire thing. So we already saw it happen in two other places. We're not going to let it happen again.
It's very much like the flood from Halo, where you just glass the planet so they have nothing to eat.
Yeah. So three outcomes await us. To achieve technological perfection through Mechane, which sounds cool, but also I think a lot of humanity is lost in that as well. To fall to Yaldabaoth, causing a ripple effect through all the deltas of the multiverse that will allow... So they're saying that our planet will... If whoever wins on our planet will win all of the planets. They will have access to all of them. Okay. So it's really crucial
that we win.
Yeah. And Delta says, if Earth falls, then all life does too. So if Earth fails to advance, then we'll be cauterized, just like Alpha, as a safety measure.
Gotcha.
So
I just want to say, there's a fork in the road ahead of you. Okay, center path to Yaldabaoth, like, no, thank you. Nobody wants that. Path to the right to Delta, technological perfection. That sounds fine. Path to the left, metallogical perfection. That also sounds fine. And we talked about this a bit on the last episode, where it's like we kind of have these two sides, and one side is considered the bad side, and one side is considered the good side. But it's like they all seemed happy and just like transformed by their meaty ways in the other world, and now it's like they seem happy and transformed by their technological ways in the other world. Who's to say what's right?
It's a choice. It's one side's really granola, and that's the meat people, because they want to be all like organic and just like farm their meat fields. And then you've got the Silicon Valley guys who just want to put a
whatever, let's just put a PCB inside every man, woman, and child.
When you put it that way, Peter, I will take the meat over letting Silicon Valley rule the fucking world. Oh my God, by a mile.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
Yeah. I think, there's bad sides to both.
For sure.
And it kind of sucks. And the story that I'd like personally to be seen is one where they beat Yaldabaoth, and then Delta comes in, and then they beat Delta too.
Hell
and then
yeah.
Just humanity prevails.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here with your technological perfection.
Fuck that.
I like how I don't have cell reception in certain corners of my house. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like to use the meat phone from time to time.
Yeah.
It makes me nostalgic.
Look, I'm all about these new fandangled smartphones, but I'm never going to get my dad to stop using his old meat phone, okay?
Yeah, some people just can't get rid of the lips to ear touch, you know? Like, it's just
yeah. Yes.
What is this, cold glass on my ear? Oh, God, that's awful.
Ew,
pass
gross.
Me a warm mouth any day.
It's big on Twitch now, where they're just holding up the phones to the mic stand with the two ears on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like by the phone, you have to keep a rag to get the saliva off your ear.
Yeah, well, it still comes with one of those microfiber cleaning cloths, but it's to get the spit off your ears.
Yeah, exactly. So that is a brief history of sarcasm. There's a lot more out there and specific SCPs, but I wanted to just get the broad strokes, and then the Tale of Six Worlds. So that's the ending that isn't quite written yet, but that's where we are present day in the SCP universe between the Church of the Broken God and sarcasm. Thank you. I believe it was Bison who wanted me to do this one, who's been running our community nights lately in the Discord. Big thanks to Bison. Discord.
Those have kind of taken on a mind of their own as well, thanks to everybody who's just been participating in community gaming and being community gamers. If you listen to the show and you also write SCPs, just write The War of the Six Worlds so Jamie can tell it to me already. I want to know. I want to know what happens. Though I'm going to kind of guess that the SCP organization will come out relatively unscathed from the whole thing. Because you know, you can't destroy the world that you're writing in. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much to all our patrons, patreon.com/theloreboys, if you want to support the show financially. Otherwise, if you don't want to support the show financially, and you want to support the show some other way, leaving a review is the best way to do it on whatever podcast app you use. iTunes is a great one. Podcast Addict is a great one. Podchaser is a great one. Friggin' Stitcher is a great one. I don't care which one you use. Leave us a review. Leave us a thumbs up, a like, 5 stars, or whatever it might be. And tell your friends. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your neighbor. Tell your pen pal. I don't know if they get podcasts in prison, but tell them anyway. Write them a letter.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I was going to say, if you've got a pen pal in Nepal, just tell him as well.
I'm sure he'd love us. Peter, do you have anything you want to plug here?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Check us out. Come to the Discord, loreboys.com/about. I do want to shout out John Licht II, I guess, for upgrading his Patreon pledge to $15. Thank you very much. And new fresh John. Patron, Austin Forshee. Thank you very much as Forshee. Well.
Hey, spoiler alert, but I licked the first.
Spoiler alert, I'm for he, not for she. If you want to be for he and not for she, or for she and not for he, you can go to patreon.com/theloreboys. Support us there. If you don't support gendering fours, then you can go to loreboys.com and subscribe to our Loreboys Prime feature, something we've always done on the show. And we kind of give you guys a preview where we were shaving lawns this morning and, you know, getting that nice smell of fresh cut pubes in the neighborhood as we're all kind of, you know, warming up our own properties. Some of you may know I recently bought a house, but I am looking to join a homeowners association, but I kind of live in the middle of nowhere. So what we need from you guys is to just give me all your personal details, you know, home address, banking details, that kind of stuff. And I'm going to enroll us. I'm going to pube length, please. Pube color as well, because, you know, we want matching lawn colors for sure in our HOA. I'm going to send you guys a ton of documents to sign. Some of which guarantee Jamie some things and guarantee Peter some things. I won't speak for them on what their wants are in this whole thing. I just want the companionship and the love and attention that a homeowners association can give oneself, right? So it's going to be a global homeowners association is my plan for the Lore Boys.
I definitely want people to nail clip their hedges to be a uniform length, because I'm tired of people having long hedges, short hedges, colored hedges.
Yeah, no,
it's pure anarchy.
The nails on your hedges are lovely, but you can't paint them a certain color unless everybody on the street paints in that color. And the street, in the sense, is the earth, because it's a global homeowners association. So we're finally going to get uniformity in houses across the world.
I can't wait to send passive aggressive emails to people in other countries to judge the way they keep their homes.
Yeah, exactly. HGTV, you better be ready to go out of business. Okay, once we get rolling, the Lore Boys, LBHOA is in action, and I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys out.
Oh God, join the Discord.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.